You're listening to Science Radio with me, Andrew David. It's the first Wednesday of the new year, as well as the new month, and therefore it's high time we open the doors, threw out the window and looked out at the, well, when we're recording this, it's a beautiful sunny day. And is John Ketley, the awesome weatherman there? John, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon to you, Andrew. I'm very well, thank you. We've survived Christmas and now we're surviving well. As you say, a beautiful, clear, cold, sunny winter's day. It's beautiful.
It is. It's rather like it should be at this time of year. We're having frosts at night and relatively temperate weather by day.
Yeah. And in contrast to what happened last year, I suppose, to some degree, we're going to cover the whole of 2020, so to some degree. But I think we better start logically with what happened last month. We were here, weren't we, on the 2nd of December, and I think we were just starting to turn a bit cold at that point before things changed again. But looking at Lincolnshire's figures for December, and you have to say, I mean, we talked about it being pretty ordinary and mundane the previous month in November. There were extremes of weather during December, even in Lincolnshire, but on the whole, it all averaged out so that the temperatures actually finished up just about dead level. Or perhaps very, very slightly milder than you'd talk about for a long-term average. So I think temperature-wise, it wasn't that exciting. If you looked at the Central England temperature, which we always refer to, it goes back to something like 1659 or something. It's the longest-standing statistical meteorological information there is anywhere in the world. And the Central England temperature average was 5.0, which placed it for the whole of England in position 254 out of 363 years. So it was still on the milder side of middle, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a particularly mild month on it. It was just about average, really. It wasn't that exciting at all, temperature-wise. But there was a lot of rain.
Yes.
My garden does testify to that. We're on clay base, and it does get pretty soggy and horrible to walk on. And it did in December. I'll give you the rainfall figures across Lincolnshire. We had something like 88 millimetres at Scampton and 92 millimetres at Waddington. Not a great deal of contrast there or difference. 101 millimetres at Cranwell and 73, much, much drier at Coningsby. Now, we see that in the summer very often, don't we?
Mm.
Where Coningsby seems to be warmer and drier. We get the heavier showers up the ridge and things like that. But for December, that was unusually dry compared with the rest of Lincolnshire. So, yeah, Cranwell came out top. Now, when I talk about 101 millimetres, that is exactly 4 inches of rain, which is absolutely loads, really. And that represented exactly twice their average December rainfall. So if people's perception was that it was a wet month, well, it certainly was. It was twice the average rainfall, for example, at Cranwell. Whereas at Coningsby, it was 59% above average rainfall there. And Waddington, 87% above average rainfall. So a wet month, there's no doubt about that. The interesting, I don't normally talk about this, but the anomaly of pressure, there are people who actually write down and put out for everybody to read the pressure anomaly on the 9 o'clock observation every month, every day of every month throughout the year. And I'm indebted to the University of Reading who do this sort of thing. And the pressure anomaly throughout December on the 9 o'clock observations was 12 millibars lower than normal in Lincolnshire. Now, how about that? I mean, you might think that's a bit of a boring statistic, but clearly it represents low pressure dominating the weather across not only Lincolnshire, but the whole of the UK throughout the month of December. Low pressure generally means wetter weather. It often means milder weather as well. But as I've mentioned, it wasn't particularly mild. Because we had the colder snap at the beginning, we had obviously a very cold end of December coming into the new year. And then for a large part of the middle of December, things were very much milder. Now, sunshine-wise, we have a bit of a dearth of sunshine figures across Lincolnshire. We don't get many. So I have to rely on Waddington. Waddington must have their Campbell-Stokes sunshine recorder beautifully polished up on the observation roof.
And the good old Campbell Stokes, eh?
Campbell Stokes, what a man or men they were. I mean, yeah. to have ever thought about how they could measure the sunshine by burning a card through a lens and then changing it every day. Beggars belief, really, but it's very clever. 48 hours of sunshine were recorded at Waddington throughout December. You've got to remember that, obviously, in December, you're into the shortest days of the year. So the average across inland parts of England is generally about 45 hours. So we, if anything, we were probably slightly above average sunshine, though it not necessarily
didn't
felt
feel
it.
Feel like it.
No, you're not getting a lot of vitamin D in December, really, Andrew. And we need it, don't we, at our age? We need that vitamin D.
We certainly
it's lovely.
Do.
So sunshine-wise, not bad. Temperature-wise, absolutely boring. Low pressure, 12 millibars lower than it should have been, and very wet, twice the average rainfall at Cranwell than you would normally expect in December. Now, looking around the rest of the country, well, obviously, some places have got an absolute pasting. If we got a lot of rain, then other places in the west and northwest got absolutely hit by deluges of rain. For example, up in the Lake District, Cumbria, on Shap Fell, where the M6 goes, mm-hmm. They had 280 millimetres of rain, absolutely tons of rain there. 247 millimetres over at Keswick, just down in the valley, in the Lake District. Capital Curragh. We can't go through any programme without mentioning them.
No,
it's Snowdonia. A law. It's a law. And this one passed. 395 millimetres of rain fell at Capital Curragh in December. Now, how about that? Talk about people having webbed feet who live in North Wales. I don't know. Further down across Wales, at Seni Bridge, 281 millimetres of rain and 250 millimetres at Liscombe in Devon, and about the same at Culdrose as well, down on the tip of Cornwall there. Jersey Airport, actually, it's surprising how often Jersey Airport and Guernsey get more rainfall than they do on the mainland, and they finished up with 220 millimetres of rain throughout December. That was pretty wet. That was about 97% of 197%, I should say, nearly twice their average rainfall for December again. Now, there were some drier slots, not many, but a few places did miss the very wettest of the weather. Now, we're going to try and find them all, or both.
Well, surely Shoebury Ness in Essex.
Well, Shoebury Ness, yeah, you say that, but they still had 80 millimetres. And that was 76% above average at Shoebury Ness. So that wasn't one of the driest places in the country. Well, I suppose it was one of the drier places, but it wasn't the driest. But anyway, I can't find anywhere drier than Benson in Oxfordshire. And they had 60 millimetres, and that was just a smidging above their average rainfall for December. So Benson in Oxfordshire, 60 millimetres. Most places got an absolute pasting. Obviously, the western coast and hills bearing the brunt of all that. It was a wet month. There's no argument about that. It's a wet month. It was not really going to be remembered very much, I think. But there are a few little exceptions going through the month, which I'll come to in a second. But looking at the annual rainfall, the annual rainfall for England and Wales was actually the same as it was last year, which is quite remarkable, at 1,095 millimetres. So we finished the year on a wet note and finished it with the same rainfall as we did 12 months ago. So absolutely fascinating that. The England and Wales rainfall, if you want to take an average from the observations of England and Wales, 159 millimetres was the average, and that made it the wettest for southern Britain, wettest December since 2012. In Rittle, there's an agricultural college at Rittle in Essex. They had their wettest December in 87 years. And at Cardiff, they had their wettest December in 72 years. So there were records being broken. There's no doubt about that. It was the rain that was really doing for most people. Nonetheless, we did have some better days thrown in amongst all of that. I'll try and find them now, because when we were talking on the 2nd, on the Wednesday the 2nd last month, the cold winds and even some squally wintry showers were starting to show their hand across Scotland. But most places across the country were sitting at about 6 to 9 degrees, so it wasn't too bad at that point. By the 4th, though, and if you remember this, I don't know if you were travelling on the 4th, on the Friday the 4th, there was some lying snow in Lincolnshire down Grantham Way. It would have been, wouldn't it, the Christmas market that weekend?
Yes, indeed.
So that would have brought a few problems to the organisers, wouldn't it? Because snow started settling very early in the morning down in Grantham, and coming up the A15, I think it got quite treacherous. So that Friday was actually quite a cold and wintry looking day. It didn't rain, it didn't snow with me, but Waddington and Cranwell both finished up measuring 3 centimetres during the day. Scotland got, Drumalbin got 12 centimetres of lying snow, and temperatures were starting to plummet. In fact, at Lincoln, the temperature only got to 2 degrees that day, and we've seen 2 degrees again more recently as an afternoon temperature. So we've turned colder, certainly, in this last 4 or 5 weeks. Quite interesting. Some pretty nasty wintry weather turned up around about the end of that first week of December. Then things got a bit more dull and boring. The temperature started to rise again. By Friday the 11th, which was the first day of the Cheltenham two-day festival, they had some temperatures up around 10 degrees. Most places across the country were 9 to 12 degrees. There's still some heavy rain falling in some parts of the west. But the wettest part of Lincolnshire that day was Wainfleet, and they had 11 millimetres, but the winds were starting to blow again. So we had these windier episodes, windy, wetter episodes coming through during the middle part of December, before things changed again as we approached Christmas. Now, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you were watching avidly all the weather forecasts as you run up to Christmas. In the week before, there was never any mention of being a white Christmas. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure the bookies were going, yum, 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 going to make a lot more money this year. However.
So I was tempted. I actually put my hand in my pocket. And I thought, well, I don't like the look of this. Or perhaps I do like the look of this. I think there could be something coming. But, of course, you can't just predict a white Christmas any way you like. It's not that easy to get. It's only certain websites where you can do that, certain bookmakers, and I didn't have access to those. So I tried for Leeds Airport. You know, it's quite high up in the Pennines. Yep. Leeds Airport at
Leeds Bradford Airport. Yeah.
So I thought there was a chance that we'd have some snow on the ground there, but in the end, there were some little light snow flurries on Christmas Eve, but then on Christmas Day itself, nothing at all. So I missed out with that one. But there was certainly some cloudier, colder, wintry weather coming back by the 23rd. And we saw on Christmas Day that snow was reported, wasn't it, in some parts of eastern England, really. It was Cambridgeshire, I think. There you got some. So white Christmas was reported just for a few spots. And I think it was Cambridgeshire, parts of Suffolk and Norfolk, perhaps, as well. And up in Durham, that sort of area. Just a few places there did have a little dusting, I would have called that. A little dusting of snow come Christmas Day, which was always very interesting. It's always nice when you get that sort of image when you look out at the window in the morning. But I think most of us just had some frost, really. But nonetheless, it was interesting. Parts of East Yorkshire as well, I've just noticed they had it. We've got Christmas Day and Boxing Day out of the way. And then come the 27th, severe gales turned up. That was Storm Bella. So Storm Bella was interesting. That brought some pretty wild weather right at the end. Very cold, with a band of morning sleet and snow that extended out to Scotland and Wales into the West Midlands. And so some more snow came along there. Temperatures mostly across the country were just 1 to 4 degrees. And there was I wouldn't say it was deep snow, but there was some more snowfall across northern parts of Scotland, North Wales as well, Lake Verne, we had 8 centimetres of snow. And even in the Cotswolds too, little Risington there up in the Cotswolds, they had 6 centimetres of lying snow come Bank Holiday Monday, the 28th of December. And I must just mention this, a complete contrast to 12 months ago. Right at the end of December last year, instead of being very cold with some snow around, last year we had exceptionally high temperatures. A lot of people won't remember, but it was near record breaking because on the 29th of December, 12 months ago, Caslay in Scotland at 3 o'clock in the morning, the temperature there was 16.8 degrees. Quite extraordinary.
Did you say 16.8?
Yeah, 16.8 at 3 o'clock in the morning on the 29th of December 2019, whereas this year they were probably under snow at the same time, temperature down at -2 or something like that. So, you know, we talk about the weather being strange in this country, and obviously you can always find some strange episodes that go on. But that was an interesting factoid. Which I couldn't resist mention to you. It's only fair that you get all this information before anybody else.
Absolutely right, because we know that you are now a global superstar because of the work you do for other radio stations. Not mentioning LBC at all, which used to be London Broadcasting Company, but now leading Britain's conversation.
Absolutely. Well, nobody converses much with me. I just keep going. I don't let them get a word in edgeways. It's a bit like this programme, Andrew, you know.
No.
So I just go for it, really. But I think I want to look back at the year as well now. The Met Office have issued press releases ad nausea again. And it was an extraordinary year, I think, a remarkable year, according to the Met Office. Well, to my way of thinking, and I think we've discussed it several times through the last 12 months, it wasn't that extraordinary. What would your thoughts about the year be?
Well, I think the only bit, I mean, and this has been focused on the fact that we're now back into lockdown three. We're all talking about this is worse than when it was in lockdown one. We're talking about the dreadful numbers. But what I'm sensing is we had an absolutely fabulous spring last year and then it fell apart. So let's remember the spring. It was brilliant. It was lovely. It was overly dry. And that caused some farmers issues with crop yields. Yeah. But as we went into that first lockdown, we meant we could still see sunshine and get the vitamin D and things like that. But then after really June the 1st, when we did our program in June and then particularly in July, we were noticing it was falling apart and it never really recovered, did it?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't at all. No, I think one of the problems for the farmers was not only that fine, dry, warm summer, spring, I should say, but that followed a very wet year, didn't it? It followed a very wet autumn.
Ah, yes.
So that's what did for the farmers, really. It was a tough time for them. Now, my take on the past 12 months is this. The colder weather that we've just had, the final week of December, meant that we'd ended the year on a much more wintry note than we started it. If you go back to January, that was actually the sixth mildest January since records back to 1884. So we started off 2020 with a very mild month at the beginning. And then February stayed mild. But then we started getting these storms coming back in again, and it was just adding to the problems with the flooding and waterlogged fields and swollen rivers. Yeah. We had three significant storms in February, which were Kira, Dennis and Jorge. I think Jorge was an inheritance from somebody else, the Spanish name that or something, didn't they?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, so we had those three storms, and the resulting widespread downpours did lead to many areas of the country seeing between two and four times their normal amounts of rainfall for February. It did actually turn out to be, and it is a record, the wettest February since 1862. So there's no question about that. February was noteworthy because it was so really horribly wet. But then we got the virus, and then lockdown in spring was at least blessed with some really good weather, better weather. If you were lucky enough to enjoy it, you're only allowed to go out, I think, for an hour of exercise.
Yeah.
You couldn't go up into the Peak District because the drones were following you.
Well, I remember,
remember that one.
Yep.
I mean, how unlucky is that? And so lockdown in the spring was at least blessed with some much better weather. April saw its fifth warmest on record across the whole of the country. And it was an unusually warm Easter as well. But we seem to be getting better Easters overall in the last 15, 20 years, I think. Still get the odd bad one. And we always go for this this thing that you could still get snow at Easter, much more likely than Christmas. So
absolutely.
Maybe this coming year is going to be the opposite. But it did turn cooler and wetter towards the end of April as well. And then with more better weather to come, England had its driest ever May, which left the 3 months of spring as the driest we've ever seen. So March, April, May, representing statistical spring, was actually very dry. So that was an interesting time. You've mentioned the fact that it seemed to go downhill later on. Well, it did to a large degree, because although we had some very, very short spells of heat, and they were short, they still did bring some high temperatures, but they didn't last. They never really got going. That was the trouble with it. So in a sense, it came as no surprise that the summer months of June to August were much less reliable. Mid-June was particularly wet with thunderstorms and flooding, and Wales and the west of England saw a lot of that. A short-lived hot spell lifted temperatures to 33 degrees in West London on the 25th of June. And then July and August were often disappointingly cloudy, I've said here, with more rain. But the very end of July, right, it was the 31st of July we saw the highest temperature of the whole year. That was 37.8 degrees at Heathrow. And then in that first week of August, we had some more hot weather. I know we got the pool up. We got the pool up in the garden, which was very nice. You did need to cool off a bit. But then during August, we were hit by two further named storms. That was Storm Ellen and Storm Francis. And there was more flooding and some landslips as well, which caused some travel disruption. Wasn't that the occasion, sadly, when a train came off the tracks up in Scotland?
It was because of, they think it's because of a landslide. And I think the irony was he'd already decided to turn around and go back to Aberdeen. And that's when he got caught in what would be normally a very beautiful part of eastern Scotland, but was turned tragic. And I think two or three people died. The driver died, the guard died, and maybe one other person. So it was incredibly sad. And one of those, a sheer accident.
Autumn then was ordinary, I suppose, to a large degree. October was the coolest and the wettest of the 3 months of autumn. A few dry and warmer spells during September, and then a mild and drier month on the whole, but fairly quiet and not very exceptional in November, which, as I say, contrasted with that severe flooding that we had from the autumn and early winter of all winter of 2019 into 2020. So, yeah, lots going on, but I didn't call it a remarkable year, not compared with some other years that we've had since 2010. I mean, we can talk about the really cold, severe winter, December of 2010. That spilled over into the start of 2011. We had all the images of flooding in 2012 into 13, the Thames Valley and the Somerset Levels.
Saw severe flooding, didn't they? Yeah.
The Dawlish railway line was hanging in midair for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, remember that.
So all that sort of thing. And then we had some really hot weather again in 2018 and 2019. We saw very hot weather, which just beat the sort of temperature that we saw 31st of July in 2020. So, yes, lots to talk about. Always enough weather about in this country anyway to make a programme. And that can be then repeated 16 times on different channels for everybody to see again.
You cynic.
Well, no, not at all.
You'd be locked in too long.
If I were just to look at 2020 in the round, that's a good phrase, isn't it? Because the Met Office like to talk, it's part of their agenda. It was their third warmest year on records dating back to 1884. Beaten only by 2014 and 2006, but 2006 was completely skewed by the fact we had that exceptional heat wave in August that year. That's what really made it very, very high temperatures as an average. And it was marginally warmer than 2011. But actually, for England and Wales, we've seen 11 wetter years across England and Wales than we did last year. And these are on records going back to 1862. It was the eighth sunniest year since 1919. That's not going to linger in the memory, is it really?
Not really, is it?
Year since 1919. So you can do what you want with these figures, Andrew. I'm sure I shall just file them away for a few days and then forget about them, probably.
Well, in some senses, that really is because we were dominated by so many other things in 2020. The weather was, although it is the key talking point when any British person gets together anywhere in the world, it really wasn't. It was full of the weather we tend to expect in a fairly temperate climate. Yes. And it wasn't too excessive unless, and we have a very dear friend who lives in Glasgow, to the west of Glasgow, and she was going absolutely stir crazy in the back end of the year when there was storm after storm. The amount of rain that fell on the west coast of Scotland, particularly in the Glasgow Valley area, was, they have a great word, dreich. You know, it was dreich day after day after day.
That's right. I think it's time for a bit of music.
It is. And you've chosen a fabulous track, which I had not come across. So do tell us about it.
Well, I can't tell you much about it, Andrew. All I know is it's in the theme of the season we're in. It's winter, and it's by the Rolling Stones.
wrecked, I'm taking a long way around. Yeah, and I wish I'd been at a Stone Canyon when the lights on all Christmas trees went out. But I've been burning my bare broken candle and the restoration plays of all right. All along. Well, well, well. Sometimes I think about you, baby.
Yes, I'm sorry you've never heard of that one before, Andrew, but it was quite a nice little ditty, wasn't it? It just smoothly went along there.
Well, it was interesting because I looked at the database and we have something like 30 tracks from the Rolling Stones. We now have 31 because we hadn't got that one. And I'm delighted that you found it in your wherever you found it from.
Well, I don't know where on earth I found it from, but I can give you another factoid as well, which has nothing to do with the weather, but I'm sure you'll be interested. I've been doing an awful lot of genealogy in the past 6 months for one reason or another, mainly because I haven't been out much. looking back at my ancestors, and although I always think of my ancestors as coming from Yorkshire, which they have done for the past 100 and a bit years, they actually started off down in Essex, which is quite remarkable. And some of them actually stayed down in Essex and then went on, migrated to London. Several of them actually in the mid to late 1800s went down to London to live and work and never moved away. So there are quite a few Kettleys down there. Now, one of them is a chap called George Kettley, who was born in 1842. Mm-hmm. And he would be the brother, one of the brothers of my great grandfather. And my great grandfather was the only one of these Kettley clan who actually came up to Yorkshire. The rest stayed down south. George Kettley married three times. And his final wedding was in 1900 in Chelsea. And he actually lived on a road in Chelsea Which is the title of one of the Rolling Stones tracks. What about that? Now, I thought that this road in Chelsea would probably have been pulled down. It's probably some slum from 1900, but not at all. You can find a picture of this street on the eBay or in Google Maps or wherever, and there it is. It's a really posh place. I better tell you what this chap did for a living.
Go on.
He started off as a groom in Essex, because that's what his and cattle dealer, that's what his parents and grandparents were. He thought he'd then go and see the bright lights of London for whatever reason, because the trains had now arrived, so it was easier to get down into London from Brentwood, and eventually Ongar went onto the Central line as well. So it was easier to get into London. He then became a cab driver. You can imagine a cab driver in London in the 1800s was quite lucrative.
Yeah,
because there weren't any trains, well, there weren't any buses going through the middle of London, and cars. So he did very well for himself as a cab driver. And I think with these three weddings, I mean, I don't know, and there's nobody to vouch for it. I think he was going up in the world. He was marrying different people who were living in different parts of, he was picking them up in his cab, and finished up in Chelsea.
How
which
lovely.
Was quite remarkable. So there we are. That's George. I don't know where the money went. I never saw it.
No,
nothing to do with me.
I wonder whether this story was heading in the direction of the Danny Dyer, when he suddenly discovered that he's descended from royalty going back several hundred decades.
Oh, yeah.
But if you
I
want
think
a quick
we all believe that.
Yeah. If you want a quick factoid, going back to your taxi driver, he'd have been a hackney carriage driver. So that's where the groom and the horse came in.
Yes.
Taxis are now supposed still to have the space to carry a bale of hay in the boot in order to feed the horse. That still hasn't been repealed, I understand. That's my fact. Yes.
And his first wedding, his first marriage was in Hackney, I think, or his first wife came from Hackney as well.
Well, fascinating.
Anyway, we've really digressed there. I like the track. I think it was it from the late 70s? Do you know?
I've put the bit of paper down and I can't find it. But yeah, it would be late 70s, maybe touching into the 80s. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it was. I think it was around about the winter of discontent, which was one of those severe winters that we had. And, of course, lots of problems industrially as well. 78, 79, 80, that sort of period. It was a very cold spell. And we had some proper snow in those days. I'm just having a look now across other parts of Europe, because, you know, we weren't the only ones to see some of this interesting weather during December. There was record rainfall over in Croatia in Split. Which is a very beautiful place, I understand. I've never been to Split, but it's in Croatia.
Mm.
And they had some tremendous rainfall about the 3rd of December. They saw their highest rainfall over a 24-hour period since the 25th of August 1975. They had 132 millimetres of rain falling. The city's all-time 24-hour record rainfall was set on the 6th of September 1948. And that day they had 228 millimetres of rain. So there we are. That was interesting. That was Split in Croatia. They had all this tremendous rainfall right at the beginning of December. Well, we had the major storms as well affecting other parts of Europe. Between about the 4th and the 6th, it affected really badly. It affected northern parts of Italy and through Austria. Some pretty heavy snowfall there. 3 metres of snow fell in parts of that area, which is not surprising once you get through to December. I mean, the skiing industry would really quite appreciate a bit of snowfall by that time. So that came as a very welcome change. On the 8th, Venice was hit by some very high tides, about 1.5 metres above its normal flood barrier system to activate it. But apparently there was some mistaken forecasts. I'm not pointing fingers, but there was some mistaken forecast there. It caused more problems than it needed to have done. Very odd, very strange. So it's not only in this country, you see, where we have these issues. On the 25th of December, Christmas Day, Portugal, you know, not much of a Christmas day in Portugal, in Madeira, because they had floods and landslides. I think I recall on the last programme mentioning the fact that I thought there'd be some pretty bad weather down the Canaries, Madeira, into southern Spain and Portugal during December. I think that was one of the things I was highlighting.
Yeah.
And same again now as well. They've got some pretty bad weather in Madeira. It's just been pouring with rain again. But they had landslides and flooding in parts of Madeira on Christmas Day itself. And power lines were also downed, leaving many residents without electricity. Several places reported over 100 millimetres of rain in 24 hours. Now, the 27th of December storm, that was Bella, which struck the UK. It struck much of northwest Europe. It left more than 55,000 households without electricity as it moved through. More than 21,000 homes lost access to power in the UK, and 34,000 in the east and central part of France as well, where the winds were really whipping up there. 125 kilometres an hour, which must be about 80 miles an hour, I think, and waves up to 10 metres high. More than a third of flights from France's main airport in northern Paris, too. Is that de Gaulle?
That would be Charles de Gaulle, yeah.
Yeah, encountered long delays due to that storm Bella right at the end of the month. Big issues, of course, with that flooding from Storm Bella across the Midlands. The South Midlands in particular got really badly hit. Well, actually, parts of Norfolk did as well, and Cambridgeshire. But a lot of images on television through Bedfordshire, Northamptonshire, Oxfordshire, parts of Gloucestershire and Worcestershire as well, where everything was underwater. And in the end, that did for Cheltenham, because Cheltenham Race, of course, as long as I can remember, have had a race meeting on the first day of January. Mm. And that this year, sadly, was abandoned because of all that flooding coming from Storm Bella on the 27th to the 29th. So that was a big shame. That was awful for them. So a lot of flooding around in the South Midlands. The River Nene broke its banks, and the caravan park at Billing Aquadrome in Northamptonshire also had to be evacuated. 1,000 people were evacuated from there. Goodness. The River Severn, not unusual, the River Severn floods and overtops at this time of the year. Well, it did again at Upton-upon-Severn. Really bad. Really bad, not only in this country, but elsewhere as well. And so the year ended either cold, very cold with some snow, or very windy, Andrew.
Hmm. Well, the next question then I have to ask, as we're all sitting here wondering about the possibility of being able to go out and take our 1 hour's exercise a day between now and certainly March. Before you do a specific one, what's your, because you are very good at just hinting at patterns. I go back to a year and a bit ago when you hinted at in the late part of the autumn, you could see all sorts of patterns emerging, and you were spot on.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Just looking at, we've looked back at 2020, just looking at maybe the next 3 months, is there anything to worry us? Because sometimes we have the mild December and then we start really getting into the deep cold. Is there any sign there's any deep cold coming substantial snow?
Clearly what we've had in the past few couple of weeks really has been a little bit more unusual than it has been in more recent years. There's always this talk by climate scientists, and I'm not arguing with that. I think it's absolutely right. With global warming, you're not going to see the same amounts of snowfall anywhere in the UK than you used to do. But at the same time, you always will see more extremes of weather, like heavy downpours of rain, more flooding, and some higher temperatures, more heat waves, all this. Nothing wrong with that. That's basic physics. That's basic science. It's also, part of the repertoire, really, to do a bit of retrospective forecasting. So we had this change in the weather and a change from what you'd normally expect and start thinking, well, why did that happen? So the retrospective forecast is now seeing a weaker polar vortex which causes stratospheric warming way up above the troposphere. Our weather occurs in the troposphere, which goes up to about 6 miles. Then the layer above that is called the stratosphere. And that goes up to 30 miles above the ground. Now, you wouldn't think that what happened in the stratosphere with a different change in the wind directions and low pressure and high pressure of the poles was going to dominate what happened at our level in the next 2 or 3 months. But it can do. And retrospective forecasting is now suggesting that with polar vortexes showing their hand up across the northern part of America and around the Alaska and the Arctic Circle, that this is actually beginning to happen. Now, that strengthens the belief that we could be seeing more colder episodes, more wintry episodes in the next, in the next 2 months. So that would be interesting. That would not be unprecedented. It certainly happened in 2008, 2009 and 2010. We saw that sort of thing happening then. And then we got the beast from the east, didn't we, 3.5, 4 years ago. And
we
that
did.
Was also to do with stratospheric warming. So it's something that happens on a fairly regular basis. It's just that it's very rarely forecast ahead of its happening. It's a pity no one saw that coming, say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. And then we could have been anticipating some cold and snow weather around about this time, but I never heard it mentioned. And the long range forecast I was reading back in September time had no suggestion whatsoever of any colder than normal weather in the early part of winter. So I think that's a bit of a shame. I think what we are seeing at the moment would not be a surprise if we did have this stratospheric warming and polar vortices. You would be in for more colder snaps in the next 2 months than we'd normally get. But then that would in turn lead to this reverse of what I normally say, where it's more likely to snow at Easter than Christmas. Yep. So I think we're probably going to be getting warmer weather back then for Easter time, which I think this year falls in the first week of April. So it would be no surprise to me if we had a good Easter again, as the colder and more wintry weather at times, not all the time, eventually leaves us behind. I've also got another image here of what could be happening, because I'm not a fan of solar spots and solar cycles, but it is a fact, Andrew, that the solar cycle is into a minimum at the moment. There's roughly an 11-year period with solar activity, and at the moment we're in the doldrums, we're in the low sunspot activity period, and that would suggest that it wouldn't be as mild or warm generally across the world as it would be in a different part of the cycle. So for people who are keen on it not being exponentially warming in the next 10-15 years, then this solar cycle being where it is would suggest that it is actually getting a little bit cooler.
Mm. Well, you know, we do a lot of this retrospective stuff, which is, you know, what makes this program so enjoyable. It'd be fascinating to see what does pan out. And everybody's now saying, well, shut up, Andrew. Let John tell us now what to expect over the next 2 or 3 days.
Well, I think what we've got at the moment, Andrew, is something which is very nice and crisp. I love days like this. You know, we don't get that many of them. Not only are you getting your vitamin D, you're getting your beautiful sunshine, you're also getting the frosty nights back. So we are in for now a very frosty night to come tonight. We've lost the threat of sleet and snow showers for 24, 36 hours. But I think come the end of the week, come Thursday into Friday, is a real threat of lying snow, not particularly for Lincolnshire. We're not certainly not in line for the worst of it by any means, and it might only be a slushy covering come Friday morning, but we could have a centimetre or two in some places. I think much heavier snowfall is likely across Scotland come tomorrow, coming down into the higher ground of Northern Ireland, certainly heavy snowfall across Cumbria, into the Pennines, parts of Wales and northwest England come Thursday evening and overnight into Friday morning. So that's where the most severe weather is going to be. It's still the cold air that's sitting on top of us. We've got this cold reservoir, which takes some shifting. Yep. But the suggestion is that the colder reservoir will eventually be shifted away come the beginning of next week. So instead of seeing temperatures, they may only be about 1.5 degrees above freezing on Friday. We should see temperatures of 6 or 7 come Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. So that'll get us back into this more mundane run of winds and weak frontal systems coming in off the west from the Atlantic. That's the boring weather, if you like. That's when everything starts to get a bit grey and dull and misty again. Not very nice at all. That's because it's pushed all the bad weather, the wetter weather then stays down in the south through Madeira, Spain, Portugal, North Africa even, and then back into Corsica, Sardinia, Italy and Greece. So there's a bit of a change in the jet stream. The jet stream's been to the south of us for a little while. It's going to change again. That's pushed the bad weather and more unstable weather, more unsettled weather down into the south, into the Mediterranean. But as we've been talking, and every suggestion would suggest that it will change again quite quickly. So after a milder interlude of a week or so, 10 days perhaps, we might well see some more wintry weather coming back later in the month of January, only to be repeated again in February.
John, talking about February, we'll be talking again on the first Wednesday in February, which, if my diary is correct, is about the 3rd of February. So, John, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure, Andrew.
January's retrospective of 2020 and a little bit of crystal ball gazing to 2021. Can I wish you and yours all the very best and a very happy new year, John?
Thank you, Andrew.